2 hours and 19 minutes of remaining drive time. You have 2 hours and 19 minutes of remaining drive time.
This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, bringing you news analysis and I usually try to interview people who are doing something. That's why I call it Talk is Cheap. Try to bring you groups that are doing something. Today, Norfed. This guy did the Liberty Dollar, which has now become defunct, but it was definitely a good idea. He's kind of conservative, but it's also illustrating that these guys want the same thing. They have this. We have the same enemies as the center right and the center left, which is the Federal Reserve. Okay, so before I get into that, though, this weekend I'm listening to the radio while I rest up for my 14-hour driving days, driving truck, which I'm doing now. I'm on my way back to Eugene. It's Friday, headed into Eugene. Saturday, Freakonomics Radio, which I usually like. NPR, when they're not trying to get us into a return of the Cold War with Russia, they're promoting globalization. Freakonomics Radio had an interview with IMF President, Christine Lagarde, who is, if I've got that right, yeah. And I commend them for getting an interview with Christine Lagarde of the IMF. And of course, you're not going to roast Christine Lagarde when she grants you an interview, but it basically was a complete puff piece for the IMF. Several things they did wrong. One main thing that they did wrong about, they finally get to it halfway through the interview, the guy, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who was the head of the IMF, who she took over for, had mentioned that he might not be too cool with austerity, that there might be alternatives to austerity. And almost the next day, he gets accused of, this is long before the Me Too movement, but he gets accused of impropriety with women. And these charges have been completely dropped, and he's been totally absolved of this. Okay, so they mention this, they don't mention that he's been completely absolved of the accusation. They just mention that he resigned after being accused of impropriety with women. So, and then, like I say, he was completely absolved of this, but he did resign because he knew that the forces that he was fighting against, it was basically useless. So, and of course, Christine Lagarde is into austerity, although during the interview, even she backs off on that. All right, and so I'm glad New World Notes played the Parenti interview last week. And this is the other thing that they do. This is classic, straight out of Parenti. Michael Parenti is... they have on there, they use as an example, when they're talking about the IMF, they use as an example, and globalization, they use Milton Friedman as the far right, and then the left is supposed to be Paul Krugman. Now, Paul Krugman is not left. He claims to be a liberal, but he was Reagan's economic advisor, first of all. So, and also, he's kind of the, what I call the Maxwell Smart of economists. He was majorly advocating globalization, but he's since backtracked on that, and so he's kind of like Maxwell Smart. Sorry about that, Chief. I was wrong about globalization. And now that globalization has proven to, they've totally destroyed third world countries with globalization. Okay, so this Freakonomics episode with Christine Lagarde, they totally leave out huge amounts of information, okay? I'll give you an example. First of all, what we've done... Oh, let me backtrack real quick. This gives me a chance to talk about Hamilton for a second. Now, I haven't seen Hamilton, but what I've read is that it's about Ron Chernow's book. And this, I'm getting to, this has to do with globalization because this is, the central bank is what is facilitating all this. So in Hamilton, I don't know what is going on in this musical Hamilton, but if they are in any way glorifying Alexander Hamilton, this is vastly, very problematic, because Hamilton, even Ron Chernow would admit that Hamilton was raised by, basically groomed by aristocrats. He was not an aristocrat himself, but he was totally groomed for aristocrats, and he is the reason we have a central bank to this day. And Ron Chernow, I have personal experience with this. I went to his book signing. Ron Chernow is kind of the Glenn Miller of biographers. He takes out all the high notes and all the low notes and just gives you what he claims is sort of a non-biased biography. It's kind of a biography for little old ladies and to get you into a basic biography. So at the book signing, I asked him, while he was signing my book, I said, so has Alexander Hamilton been vindicated on his position on the central bank? And he looks at me and goes, oh, clearly, you know, not, he doesn't kind of go, well, you know, the Federal Reserve has had its days and has been good and bad, none of that. No, Chernow goes, oh, clearly he has been vindicated, and I did use the word vindicated. Clearly his position on the central bank has been right, and then basically treated me like a conspiracy theorist. And by the way, as I just want to say too, globalization is being painted by NPR as a conservative conspiracy theory, and I was at the WTO in 1999 as a reporter. I didn't get tear gassed up there, but I was around, recording around the WTO in 1999 in the Battle of Seattle. And while labor did march with environmentalists, it is not, it is a liberal issue. Globalization is a liberal issue, not a conservative conspiracy. Even though Donald Trump has adopted this in a weird position. All right, so let's see, Hamilton and Chernow. Yeah, so Hamilton is why we have the central bank to this day. Jefferson, admittedly, was a slaveholder and possibly a pedophile, but he was against the central bank because the central bank tends to create war. It tends to finance war, for one thing, and it has been used so. So the example of what the IMF has done, the classic example, the way to understand what they have done is if you look at the Native American, what we did to the Native American, we set up tribal councils. The Native Americans make their decision with tribal elders. We set up tribal councils and then bought Manhattan from them with the tribal council with a bunch of beads, whether that's a myth or not. You know, we did it we've done it with the Indian bingo casinos. Here we deal with the tribal council, not the tribal elders, and so that money is given. They give a pittance to these tribal elders, and then the tribal elders kind of spread it among the tribe, and basically they just rip off. They steal land and resources from the Native Americans through this method. Well, this is the same thing that the IMF has done in the third world, mostly. And I'll give you the example. The classic example is, for instance, a bauxite mine. Aluminum is made from bauxite, and it takes a huge amount of electricity to make bauxite. So what the IMF will do is they will fund, they'll take a country's resources as collateral to fund a power plant and run the power line to the bauxite mine, and maybe a few lines here and there to the citizens, and then charge them for building the plant, and then they turn them into an export economy, exporting bauxite or aluminum that the plant does, and they get very little from the export, and they turn them into an export economy instead of making them self-sufficient. And this is also opposed to places like Norway and Alaska. The oil under these countries, if you're an Alaskan citizen, you get a percentage of the oil revenue from in Alaska. This is not done in the third world country. The IMF does not do this. So, and in Norway too, you get a portion of that reserve because this goes to ownership. That land is owned by the inhabitants, whether you believe in ownership or not. In a way, the Native Americans wouldn't say they own the land, but they are in charge of and own these areas. So this is what the IMF does. And then, so now they come in with austerity, like in Greece. First of all, these countries are forced to buy weapons from NATO. So that's the other thing, that the IMF loans them money so that they can buy weapons from NATO. And then when the Bush dynasty, all these wars that the Bush dynasty has had, these countries are forced indirectly and directly to pay for these wars. This is why you're seeing Brexit and people trying to separate from the dollar, because the petrodollar is used to exploit them with oil and by buying and selling sales of their oil and that they have to buy in petrodollars and sell in petrodollars. And they have to buy weapons, and they're extracting their resources and not giving them a fair price for the resources. So now, of course, the government goes bankrupt, and now you're telling them, because they can't tax the corporations that are extracting all this wealth from the country, and they're doing the same thing here. These corporations are extracting the wealth, and now they want, and so a guy might try to tax the corporations and the defense contractors to make them pay for this stuff. And so the IMF says, no, you guys have to have austerity, you have to implement austerity programs, or we're not going to loan you any more money now that your country is bankrupt because of these original policies. Now your country's gone bankrupt, so in order for you to loan, for us to renegotiate your loans or loan you new money, you're going to have to put in austerity programs. And they need the austerity, and this means that they take the money out of their government rather than tax the corporations, for that they're not getting paid properly from anyway. Okay, so NPR just completely leaves all this out, doesn't even allude to it. They mentioned austerity, and she said that, she did mention that some austerity is a little too harsh, I think, in the interview. Okay, so this is the problem with NPR, Freakonomics, and the IMF. All right, so coming up, Norfed. This is an interview, one of the first interviews I did a long time ago. This guy was trying to start his own currency, and it's illustrative of what we can do with cyber. This is why you're seeing cyber currency, because people need to get out of the dollar, and you may see the economy collapse because of it, but hopefully we'll be better off for it. Talk is cheap. Tell your friends. Don't buy from multinational corporations if you can help it. Thank you.
This is the Kill Radio, non-corporate, non-soundbite, non-violent empowerment news. I'm your host, DJ Susti. Let me read you this quick story and how it relates to the NorFed guy, the National Organization for the Repeal of the Federal Reserve Act. A lot of people are realizing that the international banks are an arm of the military-industrial complex, and they're basically selling the middle class and to the third world and making a lot of money while they're doing it. Here's just one of those symptoms. Iran stops selling oil in dollars, and there's a reason they do that. It's because our foreign policy is abysmal. This is by Jerome Corsi, 2007, worldnetdaily.com. Iran today announced a decision to end, this is December 8th, Iran today announced a decision to end all oil sales in dollar transactions, moving one step closer to confrontation with the United States. Iranian oil minister Ghulam Hussein Nazari told the press the dollar is not considered a trustworthy currency anymore, considering dollar depreciation and the dollar losses experienced by the crude oil exporting countries. According to a report published Saturday by the Iranian Student News Agency, or ISNA, in Tehran, Nazari also strongly suggested OPEC should move to a trustworthy currency to stop the loss of oil exporting countries, according to the ISNA report. OPEC's next meeting is scheduled for February 2nd in Vienna. Iran currently has a proposal before OPEC recommending that OPEC oil exporting countries move to sell oil in a basket of currencies rather than dollars. Nazari also told the ISNA that Iran plans to fulfill the Sinopec Chinese company's recent request to purchase more Iranian oil. In April, WND reported Iran successfully pressured China to begin paying for Iranian oil in euros, not dollars. At the Abu Dhabi summit last week, OPEC decided not to increase production, concluding there is currently enough oil in world supplies to handle winter demand. Iran is the world's fourth largest producer of oil, producing 4.1 million barrels of oil per day. WND previously reported Iran and Venezuela have joined forces in an effort to undermine the U.S. dollar. In October 2005, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez announced that Venezuela was ready to move the country's foreign exchange holdings out of the dollar and into the euro. He also called for the creation of a South American central bank designed to hold in euros all the foreign exchange holdings of the participating countries. WND also reported Iran is seriously considering establishing an Iranian oil bourse or Iranian oil exchange with the goal of establishing competition with the New York Mercantile Exchange and London's International Petroleum Exchange, or the IPE. So, now what you will see in the next few months is they will try to raise interest rates. They'll say that they need to raise interest rates to get people to buy dollars. I submit to you that it's never proper to raise interest rates. You always want to keep interest rates as low as possible. Other countries need to lower their interest rates. Low interest rates encourage invention and investment, and that's how you prop up the dollar and change the foreign our foreign policy. That's how you prop up the dollar, not by raising interest rates. But that's what you will hear even on NPR, them reporting. Although I'm starting to hear other people, Amy Goodman and those, say differently. Chris Hedges was on the other day, too, saying the same thing, similar to what I'm saying. Okay, so here is, without further ado, a repeat of my NorFed interview I did a long time ago, because I've been studying the Federal Reserve for quite a while now. And most Federal Reserve experts will tell you that after a war, they have to raise interest rates to pay for all the crap. I was just listening to Roy of Hollywood last night, and they had Gary Null on, a nutritionist. Even he was saying the same thing, that they are going to raise interest rates to pay for all the war debt, for all the munitions and crap that we've produced that none of us get to use. We have to pay for all that and not get to use it. So it's wrong, I tell you. So, of course,
even though they talk about curbing inflation, they forget to, or they admit to acknowledge that they are the ones who cause inflation.
They admit that?
No, they do not admit it.
Sorry, let's try that again. The non-professional, non-soundbite, non-violent empowerment news with DJ Sesti. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Especially by raising interest rates.
Actually, the PR campaign by the Federal Reserve is outstanding, and even though they talk about curbing inflation, they forget to, or they admit to acknowledge that they are the ones who cause inflation.
They admit that?
No, they do not admit it. That's just it.
Okay.
They omit to acknowledge that they are the cause of inflation. After all, we're dealing with a fiat currency. There's no discipline in the structure at all, Curtis. So that means that they can inflate or de-inflate the currency at will and are acknowledged, even before Congress, that they manipulate the economy. What they omit to admit there is that they manipulate the economy for the advantage of their owners. I hope that you're aware that the Federal Reserve is a private organization, not government.
It's 12 private banks.
Well,
is that correct?
You're referring to the 12 districts that the Federal Reserve is made up of, but that is actually just a bunch of smoke and mirrors because it is controlled by the head bank, the Bank of New York, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
And what do you think would happen if the just to play devil's advocate with you, do you think we should all vote in that the Federal Reserve Chairman should be an elected official?
I think it's really immaterial. The way the voting system is manipulated, the way that the media, the mass media, mainstream media is bought, owned, and controlled by the same power who control the Federal Reserve, that own the Federal Reserve, I think it would be a non-issue.
So you're against a central bank at all, period, at all?
Absolutely.
And you would have, what would be the alternative to a central bank?
Well, you know, we didn't have a central bank for the first 150-some-odd years of this great country, Curtis. We've only had the central bank, this central bank, I take it back, because we have had three central banks before this insidious device. But we've only had this one, only, I say, in jest, for the last 87 years. Okay, mm-hmm. So we have had periods of time when there were no central banks, and we've had great prosperity, and we would have that again. So we don't have to have a central bank. We could have simply clearing houses that clear checks. There's nothing magical about this. There's nothing, anything about this except that it's an out-and-out case of fraud.
Okay, I went to a seminar once on foreign direct investment. And how does, let me see if I can frame this question. In what way does the Federal Reserve make it easier for globalization to occur? And how are they used to destabilize foreign currencies?
Well, this all grew out of the Bretton Woods Accord in 1944 when they positioned the dollar to be the de facto currency of the world. And so by doing that and then the subsequent changes that they made in terms of taking the dollar totally off the dollar, as Nixon did in 1971, meant that it opened the door to a total fiat currency in the whole world. What's most insidious is that other countries have come along and sold off actual valuable items like gold and silver and backed up their currency with the Federal Reserve notes, which are totally fiat. There's no backing. There is no discipline, which means that they have opened the door to total globalization based upon nothing but hot air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing. Can you elaborate on that? There's
the Federal Reserve has acknowledged that they make the money out of thin air. I mean, this is a currency that has absolutely no discipline, has no relationship to value, except for the political expediency of what they want to do.
So it's just on faith. It's just on our faith in the dollar.
If you go into your bank and you check the statement from the FDIC It says that it's backed up by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Let me remind you that our founding fathers based our government upon the people, and they had three different sets to the different divisions of government because they did not trust the government, Curtis. They knew that you could not ever trust the government. They even abhorred the fact that they had to create a government, but they realized they had to do that, and they set it up in three different divisions so they would have checks and balances against the government. Full faith and credit of the United States government or any government? Don't be such fools.
And so they've circumvented the checks and balances?
Oh, absolutely. Look at the history of the Supreme Court. It has even played a larger role in the decline of our money than either of the other two divisions of the government. The Supreme Court has been just absolutely appalling in terms of their decisions brought before them. There's an excellent book written by Edwin Vieira called Pieces of Eight that go through this step by step by step, identifying exactly the fall of our dollar. But this has all happened in concert with the Federal Reserve. Greider's book is a very interesting book because he says in that book that in the conclusion of his book is that what should we do? Oh, they just need more time. They're just learning how to manage the economy. Learning how to manage the economy? Doesn't that sound rather fascist, communist, or centralist to you? Manage the economy? The economy doesn't need to be managed. The people don't need to be collared or managed. And they certainly don't need any more than 87 years. Give me a break. What we have here is a situation of a bunch of central bankers who are trying to run the show and have been running the show for the advantage of their owners. What they don't acknowledge is that what they simply do is that they manipulate the economy for the advantage of the owners by screwing you and I and every other listener that will hear this broadcast, Curtis.
Yeah, are they, can you touch on, aren't they related to, how can I say this, like the, it goes back to the Rothschilds, doesn't it, where a lot of their money was made off of war.
Absolutely. Fiat currency is the seed of war. Mrs. Rothschild, at one point, is quoted to have said, if my sons, remember Meyer had five sons, if my sons didn't want there to be war, there wouldn't be war. If you go back and you study the history of the Rothschild family, it is sickening to anybody who grew up in the 60s and wanted to give peace a chance, Curtis. It's appalling what they have done. And yes, fiat currency. This is why we quote-unquote went off the gold standard, because they had to go to war. You can't have war in today's age based upon a value-backed currency when the people own the currency, and the currency is backed up by gold and silver. The reality is that we've never had the set of circumstances that we have right now, which have laid the basis for the American Liberty currency. Because throughout all of history, the gold and silver has always been owned, controlled by the government, the royalty, the powers to be. Now, for the very first time, we have a free market in gold and silver. And now, for the very first time, we have a gold and silver currency, which is based up on gold and silver. That means the currency that you have is not open to the manipulation as it has been in the past.
Well, how do they cause war by doing that? Can you elaborate on that? You mean they cause poverty in the rest of the world?
Well, there's a lot to be said here. Let me just reflect quickly about background of the Rothschilds and where they come from, because Meyer realized that after having gotten a nice relationship with one of the German principalities at that time, that found himself in a battle with another principality, that he needed some money. And so Meyer loaned him some money, and ultimately got the money back with a lot more control over that principality, and realized that if he had instituted some war between another principality, that he could actually loan money to both principalities.
Loan money to both sides to finance their war.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So he became a warmonger. They're still warmongers. They went from doing it between principalities in pre-nationalistic Germany to what we have now. They used to do it between countries, and it worked pretty well, and now they're doing it between regions, just like when they sent in George Soros and pulled the plug on Asia in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing wrong with those economies. There was nothing wrong whatsoever at all.
Well, high interest rates exacerbated that problem, didn't they? The problem in Asia?
Who controls the interest rates, Curtis?
The Federal Reserve.
It's just a circle here. Mm-hmm. It's a circle. And they control the circle because they have bought up all the mainstream media.
Well, how you're saying that the Federal Reserve is control? How do they control the media?
Control the media. The people who own the Federal Reserve own the media. We're talking about a pre-Nazi situation is what we have right here in the United States.
You mean General Electric has a bank that is related to the Federal Reserve?
I don't know why you brought General Electric.
Well, it's just that General Electric owns NBC.
Right.
So what exactly are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that if you went back and you researched the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations,
right,
you would find an insidious plan here where there's a very few people that control. Yes, Rockefellers would be a very good example here.
The Trilateralists.
The Trilateralists, the Bilderbergers, the CFR. That's our local, down-home, run-of-the-mill conspirators there in New York City, Council on Foreign Relations. These are the same people.
Okay, and then we'll get into the Liberty Dollar in just a second, but I'm looking at, here's an overlapping story. I'm doing a story on the homeless here by this group called Acorn, and what they're saying is that the Federal Reserve has the power to stop predatory lending. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, vaguely. But what does that have to do with the homeless?
Well, that they have the ability to make loans more available to in low income areas.
Oh yeah.
And they haven't done this. I'm not up on that. So we can move on. Well, tell me about the Liberty Dollar then. What is it you're doing? I mean, can I are there people who will? Well, tell me about the Liberty Dollar.
Sure, Curtis. The Liberty Dollar is a proactive educational tool that I designed and developed after 23 years of research, because when I became aware of the situation, I wanted to do something. I wanted to make a difference. And I looked around at what I could do. And even though there have been some excellent books written, I would highly recommend Ed Griffin's Creature from Jekyll Island for anyone who wants to get some real information about the Federal Reserve. I looked around at all the different things that were out there, and I wanted to do something different because I don't think writing another book, although there's a lot of good books out there, Eustace Mullins wrote another really good book. In any case, I wanted to do something different, so what I did was I started networking my contacts together. I'd been the mint master at the Royal Hawaiian Mint for 25 years, and so I designed and developed an American Liberty currency, which is a very high-level, ultra-counterfeit-proof, beautiful, if you've seen it, certificate, warehouse receipt. It's 100% legal. That is 100% backed up by gold and silver, and 100% redeemable in gold and silver. The piece in particular, Curtis, is actually a title of ownership to the gold or silver that is backing up that piece of paper. It's kind of like the title to your car. And what that means is that we are returning the ownership of the money to the people. When the people own the money, they control the government. When the government owns the money, as in the case of the Federal Reserve, which we're simply renting, paying interest on, then the government controls the people. And that's the situation that we have right now. And that is what the Federal Reserve has been able to do with their money.
But are you using the Liberty Dollar as like as script? And
no,
you can...
not a script.
Okay, so
please
that...
don't call it a script.
But I mean, I can't use it to trade with.
Of course you can.
Oh, you can.
I've used it in hundreds and hundreds of transactions. If you went to our website, www.norfed.org, you could click on there and click on one of the cells on the front page. It's called Winning Stories. And you could go in there and read dozens, hundreds of stories about people using them all over the place. And a lot of well-known national stores like Walmart, for example, and Blockbuster. You probably heard about those two stores.
They will take Liberty Dollars?
Not all the time, but they have taken Liberty Dollars. Yes, sir.
Okay, and you're working to repeal the Federal Reserve Act.
Yes, sir.
Are there any representatives jumping on that bandwagon?
Representatives?
Yeah. Is there...
You mean people, creatures of the government?
Yeah, and I thought there was a bill that's being trying to be passed.
But... Actually, that's R.H. 1148, introduced by House Representative Ron Paul. He introduced that. Yes, sir.
What state is he in?
Texas.
Okay, anything else you want to cover that I've missed?
Well, I think if people are concerned, or for those out there that are awake and that are concerned about the situation with the money, or if they're not happy with what the government does, then they should become proactive, and they should simply exchange some of their dreaded Federal Reserve notes for some of the new American Liberty dollars, because NorFed has a very simple solution to the situation, and that is, if you're not happy with it, then stop using their money. Start using the American Liberty dollar and return America to value $1 at a time. You can call 888-421-6181. Toll-free information. Every single piece of currency contains the URL, first one in the world, and the toll-free number so you can get the currency, exchange the currency, and learn more about what the solution really is.
Okay, thanks very much. And keep in touch with me, will you? You've got my fax number and things like that, so keep me updated if there's any new thing revolting.
Well, there's new things every day, Curtis.
Yeah.
when are you going to air this?
Well, as I told your...
Well, for 87 years. In that 87 years, we went from 100% gold-backed dollar that was worth 100 cents on the dollar to a dollar today that's worth 2 cents. Okay. For Greuter to say that they simply need more time to manage the money, how ludicrous. Anybody that would have inherited $1 million and was left with $2,000 would usually be considered a piss-poor money manager, at least so in my book.
Oh, yeah, they would
exactly
fire him.
Exactly what the Federal Reserve has done.
Well, and how much do you figure, do you have any figures on how much the bankers that represent the Federal Reserve make? Of raising an interest rate by half a point, they make billions of dollars, don't they?
Well, the thing is there, Curtis, is that who do you think tells the Federal Reserve to raise or lower the interest rate?
Well I'm sure it's the trilateralists.
It's the people who own the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who owns the Federal Reserve? Well, it's the bankers and the hidden bankers behind the front bankers, but in reality... Don't they know before the Federal Reserve? Don't they take the position? Aren't they always positioning themselves on the winning side? Wasn't that exactly why they got together on Jekyll Island in 1913? Isn't this all part of what they wanted to do? Of course it is. What's incredible about it is how absolutely amazingly successful they have been. Quite frankly, in their defense, I would say that they are wildly more successful than they had ever anticipated, because if you go back and you show you the history of the Federal Reserve, the reason they met down there on Jekyll Island was because America was so prosperous at the time that nobody was taking out loans from the bank. General Motors, General Electric, all the big companies were actually self-financing. Their amount of their loans had dropped incredibly low, dangerously low, you might say, and this was a dire straits sort of solution that they had to. The reason they banded together, now these are arch enemies, J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller, they banded together out of necessity because America was so successful that people were going elsewhere for their loans. All right, and this is what they did. They brainstormed up this wild-ass idea, and they gave it this fraudulent name, Federal Reserve. It's no more federal than the Federal Express, and it has more reserves than the penniless person out there in the street, okay? And they thought this whole scheme up, and they passed it through Congress the same year, I might add, as the IRS, okay? And off it goes, and here we are 87 years later. I think the Federal Reserve should be thanking me for bringing a solution, because this is not a radical solution at all. This is a very even, level-headed, even-handed solution that is deliberately engineered to be evolutionary instead of revolutionary. We
yeah,
just go about this very slowly, Curtis.
You're actually using their own rules against them in a way. It's a capitalist concept.
It's a very capitalist concept. But you know, the capitalists that we have now are nothing more than a bunch of communists that are using the capitalist system so that they can gain a larger control and move us into a new world order where they sit at the very top, and they then decide, well, should we screw the world for 0.5% this month, or should we wait and ding him for a quarter or next month, or should we get him for a whole percent 2 months from now?
Well, would you say this is more about maintaining power than making money?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a maintenance of power.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a maintenance of power.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. They control us. They maintain themselves in power by controlling us through our money, which is amazing. This isn't about violence. This isn't about war, although those are still really profitable engines for them. Don't get me wrong there. I mean, look at what they made. I mean, if you go back and you read the stories behind the scenes for World War One and World War Two, and how much money they made, J.P. Morgan's best friend was in charge of the armament, and so-and-so over here, and so-and-so over here. Don't get me wrong. A war is still extremely profitable for these warmongers, but reality is that they're finding that they could be a lot more domineering and be in control by simply controlling all the money of the world. And that's what their reach is, to control all the money of the world. When in reality, if people just realize, if they went back to value and they used gold and silver, particularly the American Liberty Dollar, that they would find that they would be back in control again. And these bastards who would supposed to be our slaves, our servants at least, okay, that now that they want to be in control of things. They shouldn't be in control of things, and we only have ourselves to complain about, because if we were in control, then they would indeed be our servants.
Right, they're supposed to be more like, what's the guy in It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where the banker actually loaned to benefit the community.
Right.
It was an asset to the community rather than...
Right.
I mean, these guys sound like they're con artists.
Oh, they're con artists.
It's a con.
This is not, listen.
It's a huge con.
If you or I or anybody else did what the bank did, we would be charged with fraud. They put out silver certificates. They swore that we would be able to get silver and gold for these pieces of paper forever. Forever. And what did they do? They repealed that and they stole the gold and silver. That's exactly what, I mean, fraud doesn't even begin to describe this on a global basis.
Well, in a way, they're crimes against humanity and murder is really.
Well, yes, it is.
You could also go that far.
Yes, it is. It is. It is indeed. And anybody who grew up in the 60s and quested for peace, they should understand that this money is the furthest thing from peace on this planet. They should abhor, they should boycott, to use your phrase, and they should do something.
Well, and here's a way,
their money.
And this is a way of actually empowering people. The Liberty Dollar is actually a way to, a viable method to fight these people.
Oh, it's the solution.
Mm-hmm.
If we simply stop using their money, Curtis, what are they going to do? Well, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to crawl back in the under the rock where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, because they can't force you. It's like knowledge. They can't just force you to use their money.
They can't force you to use their money. They can trick you. They can do all sorts of things. But they can't force you to use their money. They can manipulate the media against you, but they can't force you to use the money. It's really incredible. And what's fantastic is that the Internet is playing the same role that the Gutenberg press played 500 years ago, Curtis. The information is out there. The information is on the Internet. And people are slowly, NorFed quadrupled in size last year.
Yeah, is Bill Gates a hero to you?
Yes.
Because
I would call him a hero. In an era where we don't have heroes, I think he's a hero.
All right, well, I got to give up the station here.
Much fun, Curtis.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to you for hours. I may get a hold of you again.
Well, you can reach me through NorFed.
Okay.
I like doing radio, and if you could take the message to other radio stations or get other people to help spread the word,
uh-huh.
I would welcome the opportunity to get on the air. No charge.
I'll forward this to the morning show here, too, and also there's a guy called Roy of Hollywood that's in the middle of the night
mm-hmm.
that does conspiracy theory and stuff like that.
Well,
this would
send
be great.
It to him.
All right.
And you know what? If there's any TV out there, you should get a copy of the videotape of
mm-hmm.
the talk that I gave out in Las Vegas. It's good.
Well, there's a regen, an alternative TV that's on the internet, that's running across the internet that I might get involved with, so maybe I'll get a hold of you for that. But also, you can, KPFK has a website too, so you can check on our website and see if you
okay.
can.
What is it? Is it www.kpfk.org? Okay.
All right, good luck. Thanks very much.
Hey, one last quick thing here, Curtis.
What?
That is, I'd like to get a tape of what you air.
Kill Radio, non-corporate, non-soundbite, non-violent, empowerment news. Gee, maybe that's why Iran and China are dumping the dollar, because they can't get a fair shake with it.
Rage Against the Machine from Los Angeles, California. We'll be right back. for the practice. For the practice.
The pizza, the sandwich.